Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Welcome to the new edition of Kicking It, this time with the legendary, the iconic American-Argentine voice of soccer, Mr. Andres Cantor. It's so good to have you with us. Thank you. You are the voice of soccer to the millions of Spanish speakers all around America. You're also the father of our very good friend, Nico Cantor. Is it weird to now be considered the father of Nico Cantor? Because I'm sure he's grown up his entire life being considered the son of.
It definitely is. Thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here with you guys. What's this doing? This belongs to you guys. it is kind of weird. It's crazy that, you know, he's only 30, and every time I go work now and run into people, everyone says, hey, what a great job your son is doing. And I saw Nico doing this and Nico doing that, and I saw him on Champions League or on Golazo Show and this and that, and it makes me obviously super, super proud.
Did you know he'd be successful, and how much did you enjoy his success?
You know, I have to be subjective because I'm his dad. I knew he was going to be successful at anything he did. But I'm going to tell you how it happened, because I remember, you know, when I was growing up, my dad was a gastroenterologist, a very good one, and wanted both my brother and myself to follow his food path and become doctors. And I didn't like medicine at all. I mean, I see blood and I faint, kind of. I took a totally different direction, but I do remember how he didn't pressure me, per se, but he kept on saying, you know, how he would like for me to be a doctor and follow, you know, his career and this and that. And I remember that when Nico started liking football and started coming over with me to trips, to games, to tournaments, etc. I said, you know, I'm going to let him decide. And he decided by himself. And once, you know, he was into this, I knew he was going to be very, very successful. And, you know, he has an encyclopedic...
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's ridiculous.
He knows certain plays about games that I've called when he wasn't born.
Yeah, I mean, I get to work with him on the Golazo Show. And the thing that stands out to me the most is that given all your success and how you maybe got him to the door, he said, I want to earn this myself. I want to carve out a path for me that does not necessarily mean I'm connected to you as dad, as a son. I'm gonna be the most successful person I can be with my work ethic and prove that I deserve to be here, that you didn't hand me this role. And he's, you know, working on the Golazo Show, he's so kind. He's passionate. He's competitive, which I love about him. But I think above anything else, you've raised a good son. A good
Thank
man.
You. Yeah. He gets that competitive edge from me. But he's seen all my bad sides on a soccer field.
Yeah, he totally
I embarrassed my son, and I kept on embarrassing all my friends when I played, because, you know, I was so, so competitive and picked a fight in every single match that I played, that, you know, when I started working on television, I had to, like, take it easy a little bit, because they kept on saying, hey, aren't you the guy on TV? Yeah, but you just almost broke my ankle. What are you doing?
I echo totally what Charlie said. I feel like we all respect the encyclopedic memory and brain that he has for football, but more than anything, I've never met anybody who doesn't like working with Nico.
That's
such a good teammate. He's got integrity, honesty. He's just a really good young man. Oh, by the way, who got engaged? Congratulations.
Yeah,
shout out, Nico.
Mariana, shout out to Mariana.
Yes. He finally popped the
whenever
question.
Whenever she's up here in Stanford, I'll have dinner with them every Monday and Thursday night. So he made me an asada, which was impressive. But she also, when you got the award, and they were watching it in Stanford most recently, and to see how much she cared for you, just like Nico, it was almost like you were her father, was pretty special.
Well, thank you for the kind words about Nico. I'm super, super proud, and now we have to get Mariana to meet Jamie.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Can I tell you a story about his engagement? Because it has to do with you guys.
Okay.
Before we
move on. We're part of the engagement story.
So, Friday night, after he gets engaged, I see the Instagram post of Mariana and everybody that is putting pictures up, right? Of them getting engaged, her showing the ring, and this and that. So I get home, I post the picture, so proud of you, son, you know, be happy, whatever. 10 minutes into it, I get a call. Dad, get that photo down. I said, what? Yeah, well, everyone else is posting your pictures. Yeah, but everyone is not you. And please see if anybody from CBS saw your story.
What? Why?
Oh, no.
Because this was going to be a surprise for, I think, the Champions League crew. I don't know what he meant, but I said, okay, I obliged. I took it down, and then I called them up the next day and I said, you know, this is going to go in my biography. My son made me take down one of my most proudest and happiest moments in my life because he had sold his exclusive to CBS or whatever.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Before we talk about your path in football personally, what's your memory of any of these three? Because I know that you've been involved in calling iconic moments, I think particularly for Charlie, right?
Mm-hmm.
But just your memories of them playing the game.
I have the best. I don't like to compare eras of football, but obviously when these guys played in the national team, it was totally different than it is now. They were way more reachable. And, you know, I enjoyed calling every single game that these guys played. I always say that if it weren't for the 94 generation, you know, none of what happened to US soccer would exist today. I mean, the 94 generation was a bunch of semi-pro, very good players that had a huge impact in the game here in our country. And then you guys came and you know, everyone is getting better by the day. You see the talent that this national team has.
Well, what if you pitched this national team against their national team? I know you don't like to compare it.
I remember what Landon said in that argument. And I think you guys had more character. You had more fiber to the U.S. national team, if that means anything. It's like you felt, you know, you were representing your country. Not that, you know, the kids now don't, but, you know, you mostly, you know, played home and then went abroad, like many of the players now. But still, I felt they had something different. They had, I don't know. How do you feel? How do you guys feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say, like, in terms of what their mentality is or what it isn't. But going to what you're saying, when you talk about how I felt like I was playing for the kids that didn't make it from my area. I knew how special it was to play for your national team. When I grew up, it wasn't play club ball. It was to represent your country, and it was to play in a World Cup. And for me, it was like, you talk about that chip on your shoulder, wanting to prove the rest of the world that, hey, we can play with the best, and, you know, we can show that we play a good style. And, you know, for me, that always stuck with me when I played with the national team, because that was my ever first dream when it came to playing this game. It was to get to that level. It wasn't thinking I was gonna play professional. That came as I got older and saw that that was a possibility. So for me, it was always the national team, it was the World Cup, and it was taking it another step than the people that were before me. So that was my mentality, and so that resonates with me in terms of that grit I felt that I had.
What I will say that's different though is, and it's kind of similar to what you're saying, is that I still think this team can grow and bring on some of those traits that you talked about, you know? I think part of that comes with experience. Some of them play for youth national teams, but there's no replicating playing in a World Cup or playing in on those biggest stages. They're getting that at the club level now, but I think this World Cup that just passed was massive for them. That's why I'm so eager to see 2026. I'm bullish about this group. I'm bullish about what they can accomplish in that tournament.
But don't look past 2024 with Copa America.
I'm not looking past it, but I'm saying the
at home,
the tournament that we all put the most prestige around is the World Cup, right? And it being here, I think they have the world at their feet, and they have the biggest opportunity that we'll see for a while.
And you talk about 94, how that was a big, what's the step in stone that this is going to take us to, the 2026?
Like 94 birthed MLS in this country, right?
I agree. So what's 2026 going to do? I think this team has a lot of talent. And I talked with Berhalter about this. The only thing that worries me at this stage, knowing that they don't have to play World Cup qualifying, is that they're going to, other than Copa America, they're going to have to play friendlies against, you know, the teams that are available, not the teams that they want to play against, because, you know, the calendars are so filled up. So I asked them about the mentality of the player coming in to play Uzbekistan and Oman, with due respect to them. You know, is it the same than going down to San Pedro Sula in Honduras and play Honduras on a Wednesday night, you know, with a packed stadium and all the pressure that means? So they're going to have to really, you know, change the chip and make sure that every single opportunity, every single minute that they play to their maximum level to get, you know, to be successful in 2026.
That's why I think time will be the biggest selling point for them. And you're right. Yeah. Those games are hard to replicate.
Yeah, the strength of schedule is very important.
Yeah, 100%.
Preparing.
And on top of that, they're young and they play at the biggest clubs in Europe. You know, they play for the national team. They go back to Milan. They go back to England. They go back, you know, wherever they play. And, you know, they're within a certain comfort zone that, you know, when they come back, when you guys came to the national team, you had to fight for every single minute. And you know, you knew that the national team was a stepping stone for something better. And you had national pride. Not that these guys don't get me wrong. Of course, you know, everyone in this team has national pride. But then, you know, they go back to Milan. They go back to Juve, you know.
You're saying they don't need it as the stepping stone in the same way that these boys did. Got you.
I mean, I just felt like it was, you needed both always. So even like when I went to Europe and I was at Fulham, it was like one can help the other. So if you're not doing well at Fulham, but doing still well enough to get called in, and then you get a goal, or, you know, you take that confidence back and it helps you get on track. Or if vice versa, you know what I mean? I just feel like, you know, when I was playing in MLS, and to your point, if you have a good World Cup, it gets you to move to Europe. So it's kind of like, I think they both kind of help each other. And as long as you can stay fit and be main players for the team that you're playing at in Europe, because you talked about a lot of players are at big clubs, but not always playing week in and week out and playing 90 minutes. So it's that balance of being at the best club that you can be at, but being a main player for your team. But I still think that I always felt personally that you needed both, right, to help each other. And when you were needed to having a downtime with one, the other could kind of get you back on track with the other.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You also came in the Maradona t-shirt.
Yeah.
An idol for you. You've covered him closely, I'm assuming. Been around him in person.
I was very fortunate to cover him in not only the World Cup in 1986, kind of closely, but I was also with him the two times he won the Scudetto in Napoli.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was in his home. And then, you know, I saw him many, many times afterwards. And actually, Nico and Andrea, my daughter, met him in the 2006 World Cup at the VIP lounge. Nico went over and said, "My dad is Andrés Cántores." "Oh, sos el hijo del gordo, you're the..." That's a phrase that we use a lot in Argentina. "You're the son of the chubby one." says, yeah, and he embraced him, and they took a picture together on a regular camera that got stolen that same night.
There's no photo.
And Nico, wow. Of a young Nico. Got it.
Nico met him afterwards in 2014. And I kept on seeing him quite often, probably until 5 years before he died, that I didn't see him again. So I liked him, you know, I liked him as a person. I think he was the greatest thing the greatest player that played this game.
He is legendary as a player, obviously. He's also legendary for his life off the field. Mm-hmm. Being, having that kind of access to somebody like that, did you see things that shocked you?
No, honestly, I didn't. Obviously, we knew, I mean, everyone in Argentina, I guess, knew that he had an addiction, but it's like nobody talked about it too much publicly.
An addiction too?
To drugs or whatever he was doing. And then we found out that he had an addiction to alcohol as well. You know, he had a rough life.
Why'd you say that?
Well, because, you know, he explained it better. And again, it's a different world. He came from, you know, the slums of Villa Fiorito in Argentina, one of the poorest neighborhoods in the city. And he always used the phrase, "They gave me a kick in the butt, and I landed on top of the Eiffel Tower. And on the way up, nobody told me, you know, what I was supposed to do." So I was sitting on the top of the Eiffel Tower looking down, and everyone was looking at me. And, you know, 3-4 years before, I was in a room with my 7 brothers sleeping in the same room with no money, with just one meal a day. And on my way up, nobody explained, you know, how things are or what I'm supposed to do. And then obviously he became, I mean, I thought he was a master of handling his public persona to the press and to sponsors and to everyone else. But he was self-taught. I mean, there is no way to teach anybody how to react after you become a world superstar. But it was like almost overnight for him. You know, 1979, he wins the Youth World Cup, then goes to Boca Juniors, then gets sold to Barcelona, then they break him apart. You know, he fights to get into the World Cup. You know, the winning the World Cup in 86, winning the two titles in Italy, with all the, you know, social and political pressure that team had once he was good and showed the Italians that the Napoli team could win the Scudetto. It was, I mean, it took him to heights that were...
He has that level. He's like Princess Diana. I remember exactly where I was when I heard she died. Mm. I remember exactly where I was when I heard Diego Maradona had passed. Where were you?
I was home. It was early morning in Miami. start getting WhatsApp to say, turn on Argentine TV because there's something going on with Diego. So I turned on the, I pulled on the Argentinian TV channels and they were all speculating. And then suddenly one breaks the news officially. And I just started crying like I had lost a family member. I still choke up to this day just thinking about it.
You always call him Diego, not Maradona, which is what we would all use, right? Is that an Argentinian thing or is that a personal relationship
no.
thing?
No, it's an Argentinian thing.
Okay.
For us, if you say Diego, it's
everybody knows
who you're talking
about. Just the one.
Yeah, there's just one. It's in Argentina, it's just Diego.
Has Messi caught up or is Maradona still the one just based on your relationship because you feel so loyal to him?
It's so unfair to Messi because, you know, Messi, I think, is the greatest player that also played the game in his era. And I think you cannot compare. I cannot say that Diego was better than Pelé or Pelé was better than Diego. Everyone played in its own time. You guys play in your own time. Now it's different. Diego played in an era of football where he got hit probably 20 times more than Messi gets hit, got hit in his career in Barcelona, in Europe. It was a different type of football. I mean, to get a yellow card, you had to pretty much
go
studs up on somebody's knee. The playing pitches were like so bad. You know, the ball, the Azteca Stadium, if you see frame by frame his second goal against England, the ball looks like a rabbit, actually. It goes boom, 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 boom. And the fact that he controlled it for like, you know, 60 meters to get to goal, getting past the English players, it's just amazing. Nowadays, you know, the pitches are, you know, carpets. I mean, you can play football. If you're a good football player, you'll have your best game on any given night because, you know, the surfaces are so, so good. In Maradona's day and time, he had to play in the mud. He had to play in, you know, dirt pitches. And now, going back to today, you know, how many times have we not seen Messi or anybody else for that matter? You know, they're running with the ball. Somebody puts their hand on their shoulder like this and the player stops and the referee calls a foul. That was unheard of in Maradona's time. So I think now, and Argentinians are, we are so extreme that, you know, when we go into the World Cup, we expect to win the World Cup every time. We don't go there to participate. We go to the World Cups to win it. There's, I mean, being second place is not good enough. So Diego, I mean, unfortunately, Messi had, you know, Diego winning the World Cup in 86 that put him, you know, at the top. And Messi had failed four times to win the World Cup, even though he got to the final in 2014. So the, you know, our Argentinian mindset, which it is what it is because football is what it is for us, and it shouldn't be that way because reaching the final is, I think it's a big, big accomplishment. Of course, everyone wants to win it, of course. But Messi hadn't won the World Cup. But he was consistently the best player for, what, 20 years, which Maradona wasn't. Maradona never won the Champions League, if that is another parameter of greatness. But Messi was very, very good for 20 years straight. Best in the world. Diego wasn't, but still for Argentinians, he had won the World Cup. And Messi could not sit in the same table with Diego until he won the World Cup. Now he can. And now I have issues. Big time issues. I'm going to tell you a funny story, which it might sound crazy to you and to whoever's watching. I had issues changing the wallpaper on my phone.
What's the wallpaper?
I had Diego. And then I thought about it. I didn't change it December 19th. I changed it like in March. I said, you know, I like this kid. I mean, this kid is like awesome. The kid being Messi. And I changed it. And now my wallpaper on the phone is Messi.
Not Nico.
Never. No,
never.
That happens.
Should you ever set foot outside of the motel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
My question for you is, you were born in Argentina, but you moved to L.A.
Yes.
How were you able to watch those games and feel so connected? Because I couldn't watch a damn game until I got to high school.
Yeah.
So how were you still so close and attached to the national team?
Look how prehistoric this sounds, but there were lots of games that were shown on closed circuit TV. So I used to go to, you know, bars or wherever they were showing games. And sometimes I drove to Mexico, to Tijuana, to watch games because we knew that Mexican television was showing it. This is before the cable era, the satellites and all of that. And we drove with some friends to Tijuana to watch the big games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And you went to USC.
Yes.
Did you always want to be in broadcast media?
No, not in broadcast media. I knew that I liked writing. When I lived in Argentina, after my dad took me to the games, I used to come back home and used to write the report of the game just for myself because I liked writing. And I liked, you know, putting on paper what I had just seen. I was 12, 13, 14. It was crazy.
So like a journal for you almost.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. So I went to I came to Los Angeles, finished high school in LA. I was the star of the team. We made it to the CIF finals for the first time in my high school's history.
What position?
Any position they would put me. The last year I played center forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Nico wanting to be a goalkeeper?
It was probably great because you got to practice all the time shooting on him.
I did practice with him a lot. I just say that, like I just answer this. I mean, like the players answer that. If I get to play, if they want to put me as a goalkeeper and I get to play, I'll play any position. So just the fact that Nico was playing competitively in his high school team and in college, it was awesome. I mean, this game is the best thing that can happen to anybody.
We drafted Nico in to our five-a-side game, played versus Gotham FC. Nico was keeper on your side. Give me your scouting report.
I would say I liked his passion. I liked that he was confident. He was a good shot stopper. But what I was disappointed in, especially having the Argentinian background, he was not good building out of the back with his feet. I expected a little bit more with his feet, but great shot stopper and confident, good energy.
Hey.
But he needed to be a little bit better with
Man,
his feet.
You put him five against five. He's used to, you know, big spaces.
Build, right?
Yeah, build up from the front.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Clint was ruthless that day. Unforgiving.
We still won.
Yeah, he was.
And
he was
hugged,
like Pep Guardiola.
Ask him about it. We hugged it out.
The feet.
Yeah. Yeah, man. All right. So it was good. I got a lot of love for Nico.
Yeah.
How old when you moved over here?
I was 14 and a half.
Okay. So, I mean, you've talked about to be able to watch certain games, you would have to drive to Mexico. What about World Cups? What about international soccer? Is that the same scenario?
Yeah, same scenario. I mean, the World Cups, until the 1982 World Cup, I wasn't here because I did go to Spain, but the 1978 World Cup, which I went back home and watched in person, but I remember the 1978 World Cup was shown on closed circuit television throughout the States. So it was very tough those days to watch games, but you know, I did get to, in the World Cups, I went to 78. The 74, I was home, I was in Argentina, I watched it in black and white. Ditched school because it was in the middle of the morning, so I, you know, with my friends that were all, you know, soccer fans like I was, we pretended that we went to school and then ended up in a bar watching the games. 78, I was there, and then from 78 on, I missed the 1990 World Cup because the network decided for me to, since I was the only play-by-play announcer in the three World Cups that I did for Univision, 1994, 98, I called every single World Cup match. I was unable to go to Italy, so I called it from our studios in Laguna Niguel.
That lack of access in America, or lack of exposure in America, coverage of the World Cups, meant that for a certain generation of American, if they wanted to watch the World Cup, they watched the Spanish broadcast,
yes.
Right? So it was your voice that they would hear.
Yeah.
Just when you think about the way that the game has developed now to where we are, where, you know, it's a hot property, right, to try and get the rights to a World Cup, especially when you're thinking about 2026 and how big that's going to be in this country. It must feel like soccer has come such an incredibly long way in America.
It's incredible how far, not only in America, but how accessible football soccer is nowadays. You can watch a game from anywhere in the world in the palm of your hand. We were the only ones at first SIN that became Univision to show games on a national basis, not only from the Mexican League, not only the World Cups, not only games from Europe, but from any live soccer that there was, it was on Univision.
I'm curious, everything that Kate's saying in terms of like, so you've become the voice, right, that everyone's tuning into. You've had that goal call. How did you birth that? Like, was that just spontaneous? Was that something that you had thought about and rehearsed? And
no, it's the way everybody in Argentina, every broadcaster in Argentina calls goals. You know, I grew up listening to radio more than TV in my days, and that's the way everyone called the goals. So I just, you know, I guess help popularize the fact that the goal is called that way by calling so many matches. And I do realize more that, going back to your questions, that I sat in the throne of American soccer on television for like 14 years until, you know, everything exploded with satellite streaming, cable. There was only one place really to watch football in America, regardless of language. And there was only one play-by-play announcer calling all the games. And you know, I pinch myself to this day every time I go to the big games, but for 12, 13 years running, I mean, everyone that wanted to watch soccer was watching us. It's like crazy. And now, going back to the question, it's like, whoa, just think about what I just said. There was only one outlet to watch soccer on a weekly basis. And now I get off my phone, I go back in the plane today, I'll be watching, you know, a game.
But talking about to his point about that, like even during my time growing up, the way that I was able to watch Diego Maradona play and the World Cup was VHS. Like I couldn't watch anything live. And the only time maybe I got to see some stuff, it was on some sort of satellite that you have to like tilt the antenna or something, and you're able to catch a Liga MX game or something like that.
That's so why I became an Arsenal fan.
It was hard to try to watch games. Yeah. Even in my era of growing up, born in 1983, I mean, just to show how far things have come just in the last 40 years.
You were given a character on The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That had to feel pretty cool, didn't it? I don't know if there's more of a breakthrough in American culture than they put you on The Simpsons.
Simpsons, you were in the Super Bowl ad, like.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to do lots of, you know, soccer related, but outside of football things like The Simpsons. I did a movie, I did a cameo in Speed Racer, which I thought was gonna make me a millionaire because it was supposed to be the blockbuster of the summer, and it tanked big time. So my royalty checks are like $7.13. I get SAG after a check. Whoa, let's see. $7.13. I knew, you know, how big The Simpsons were, but it was a big deal when I shot the episode. But it became even bigger when everyone started, you know, texting me when they saw the episode.
Right.
Oh my God, you have it made. You're on The Simpsons. Really? I've called 3,000 live football matches in my life.
Simpsons will take you to the top.
Are you telling me that? I just, made it in America because I'm on a 1 minute snippet on The Simpsons. Really? Of course, I understand what it means.
How many subscriptions have got? You must have every subscription going.
And I have many. I just realized the other day I'm paying Paramount Plus 3 times. I'm not kidding. Andrea has one, Nico has one, and Lily has
one. You pay Nico's?
Yeah.
Nico, come on, Nico.
Well, there's three. I don't know who it is, but you know, every time I watch you guys, is who's watching, Andrea, Nico, or Lily? So it's their subscriptions.
So. I pay two, so I feel you.
Okay.
But apparently, we're all supposed to get free subscriptions. I could never get mine to work.
Yeah, mine don't work either.
Yours doesn't work either?
No, I'm still paying for it too.
Yeah. Oh, you pay for it too?
Yeah. Hey, mine's working. Shout out CBS. Yeah.
I'm with you.
Hey, that's it.
Hey, Paramount, y'all did me right. Yeah.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
You cut through in America through the symptoms and obviously just being the voice, but when Argentina just won this World Cup, it felt like you blew up in Argentina, mm-hmm. that everyone was talking about you and your goal call and what it meant in Argentina.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Come on, Kate, do your research.
that video of me.
So can I have context, though? You were already known in Argentina, I'm assuming.
I was, but I became known now after the video that went viral of me calling Montiel's last penalty kick.
And so what was so special about that call? Like what?
He gave
because
it all.
I choked up on air.
His passion.
I lost it. And I have the phone. This is shot with my phone. So I'm like front and center. And you can see my eyes teared up. And I'm yelling, Argentina campeón del mundo. And just like letting I was almost crying. So that thing went super, super viral all over. Suddenly I became super popular in Argentina. It's funny because I went in March and I'm walking the streets of Buenos Aires and, you know, people were walking up to me and I was going like this, you know, it's like, oh, whoa. They would come up to me and says, you're Andrés Cantor. Yes. Oh my God, can I have a selfie? Selfie. Can I have a selfie? I was lucky enough that, I mean, people liked or related, I guess, to the way I handled that call, which was one of the nicest and most probably memorable calls of my life.
Do you plan like lines or?
Nothing.
Can we just go back to that? You were talking about after your goal call, after the penalty call, and then you go back, you're there for the homecoming, their first game, and you get approached by some of your own. Right? Like, what did that moment mean to you? Because you'd already won acceptance, you'd already been crowned El Rey here in the States, you're on The Simpsons, you're doing Super Bowl ads, but now it's your own people who are finally like appreciating you and celebrating you. Like, what did that moment mean to you?
Yeah, it was very special, actually. It was very, very special. It was like changing the lyrics of Frank Sinatra's New York. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. So it's like I went back home and finally, you know. But I lived in the U.S. most of my life. That's the reality. I mean, I lived here, you know, 45 years, and in Argentina, 14, you know, 15, because I went back and then came back. So I still have this connection with Argentina because it's, you know, your birth country, and I have still some family there, and my friends of life are there, and it was very, very special to get recognized. And at the same moment, I get recognized, you know, the day before walking the streets by many people. Then I wanted to live the fan experience. So I didn't have any privileges. I just went to the game as a fan. So I'm there. I had a gold chain.
Yeah, how'd you get your chain snatched like that, man?
Because that's what happens when you go to the stadium in Argentina with a gold chain around your neck. It was summer, I had an open shirt like this, and we're trying to get in, going through the security checkpoint, and suddenly I feel somebody you know, pulling my necklace out, and it had a little medal that it was given to me by my parents that it belonged to my grandfather. Yeah, but I kept it because I felt the pull, and I pulled back, and I kept the little medal, and I turned around, and nobody was running, and I asked my friends, hey, I just got stolen. Who was it?
Nobody knew. No one saw.
It was a professional job.
It was an inside job.
It wasn't my friends. I know my friends. I got good ones and I got bad ones, but they were.
So Messi's in your backyard now.
Who?
Messi.
In my backyard?
Yeah, he's in Miami.
Oh. I took it literally. No, but you know what? The day he moved, people are funny. And they were for real. They were calling me and sending me messages. Hey, whenever he's over at your house for an asado,
you call
please
me.
Let me know.
What? Do you expect him to come to your house for an asado? Because that Argentine pizza wasn't looking too good.
Oh, dang.
I'm not going to get into that. Oh, dang. I fought with Nico about this issue. Actually, I met him briefly. I didn't have a picture with him. I get invited by FIFA February of this year to be a co-host of the best awards in Paris. So they take me backstage. You know, it was a very tiny backstage. They asked for my phone. My co-presenter was Adriana Lima, the former Brazilian.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Hey, there we go.
So we're both there. They're micing us up. I don't have my phone, and like, I'm almost about to go on stage, and suddenly I see Virgil van Dijk walk right by me, Mbappe, and here comes Messi. So, and I don't have my phone. It's now or never. So I run. I go to the FIFA guy. He says, hey, give me my phone. And I asked him for a picture, took a picture, and as I was taking the last picture, they said, Cantor Lima, and they pushed out to the stage to present the next award. And then I didn't get to see him in the after party. I saw Antonella. Lily, my wife, was, I see she's talking with somebody. I was talking with somebody else. I turned around, I walked towards Lily, and there she was talking to Antonella. And it was super crazy. Talk about the viral goal. She goes, you made us cry so much. Is it me? Yeah, your goal, your Montiel goal was so emotional. We all saw it.
So you know that Messi heard that.
Yeah. And but my first reaction is, and this happened with the coach as well, he says, no, you guys made me cry. I didn't make anybody cry. It was Leo that made me cry and the team that made me cry, but thank you. And I approached the coach, Scaloni, beforehand, and while I was walking up to him, and he comes up to me, I never seen him in my life, says, my kids told me it was you. Oh my God, there's only one video that I kept from the final, and it's yours. And he pulls out the phone and shows me that he's got the video, and that he cried and how, you know, emotional it was.
That's got to be top three for you.
Yeah.
Top three?
Top one.
He said it was one. You already said number one, yeah. Man. You ain't listening.
But anyway.
We're talking about hanging around with Maradona.
Yeah.
And
okay.
From moments of being in the sport. Yeah, you hear.
Top one is probably, I didn't get to call it because I was writing. I don't know if it's top one, but it has to be up there. Sorry. The second goal against England in Mexico.
Yes.
That yeah. I cried.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
This Argentinian team had something different than anybody else, which was Messi. I mean, there was like out of the 10 people that would tell me that they wanted Argentina to win the World Cup, they would say, I want Messi to win the World Cup.
Right.
Mm. As much as they wanted Argentina. They really wanted Messi to win the World Cup. Because, you know, of
all the work he's done.
So to round out the top three, you had the goal versus England mm-hmm. as one. You have the winning the World Cup with Argentina in 2022 as two.
Yeah.
What's three?
Hand of God.
Maradona.
Just kidding.
Yes. Yeah, Maradona. Yes.
So what about the call of an iconic goal from a young Charlie Davies at the Azteca Stadium? Where would that come?
That was big in itself. It was very hard to win. It's still very hard to win up there. And it was very hard to score. This guy just shoom. That was big. And, you know, I think...
Didn't even make top 100, did it?
calling a game with Nico. In English, have you ever done it?
No.
Speak it, believe it, receive it. Yeah, yeah, let's make it happen.
Speak it into existence.
Yeah, yeah, why not? Why not? But...
Do you want to?
Sure, of course. I'd love to.
To go off what he said with the Messi interview, you said it's a work in progress. That's something you really want to do.
Yes.
You're the king. How is it a process? Why isn't it just, hey, Inter Miami, let's get this done?
That's Messi, bro.
You see how
the
quick,
king.
Hold on. You see how quick these guys turn things around? When you were playing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, how
you
was
were not
in the hall of Clinton. Yeah. Oh, man, I can't do it now. Yeah. All I need is 5 minutes. No, man, not today. Okay, call the press officer. And now it's like, yeah. Like,
make it happen. Just snap your fingers.
Yeah, hey, Missy, the king is calling. I could be very well known as the king. Thank you for that. And come full circle. Maybe, I don't know, calling games in English for the next World Cups could be, and with Nico, could be something fun.
Oh, Nico's going to Fox?
No. Not that I know of. Maybe, I don't know.
Obviously, the goal call is so famous, right? The extended goal call. You can, I don't know if you've ever timed yourself how long you go.
Never.
But it's long. I'm wondering, of the three of you, which guy would be able to, who's got the better lungs, who'd be able to hold out. So we're going to set
so
you
much.
A challenge.
Charlie can do it.
I would bet on Mo.
I bet on Mo.
He's got the
you
voice.
You bet on Mo? Why? Yeah.
He's a singer.
He's got the voice. He's got the lungs.
Okay. Oh, by the way, are we doing this like individually?
No. It's a count of three, and then when you drop out, you drop out.
Yeah, but I kind
of
want to hear everyone's individual. I want to hear what he sounds like doing by himself.
That's not how it works.
Yeah, tell him.
I set the rules.
All right, sorry.
Are you joining in?
Yes.
No.
Come on. If you do it, I'll do it.
No. I want to watch.
Okay, I want to watch these guys.
Does Andres have to join in? That's fine. Okay, it's between the three of you.
All right.
Okay. So ready.
I'll be the judge.
I'm going to give you a 3, 2, 1, go.
Yeah, but he has to actually go because he's going to start bullshitting. I already know.
All right.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Go!
Yeah. 18 seconds.
Yeah.
18 seconds. Was it decent?
Yeah, it was decent.
And I could have kept going too. I just,
Andres, we appreciate you so much. Thank you for coming through. It was a pleasure to get to know you. I felt like I already knew you because of knowing you through Nico, but this was really cool. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Good to see you. We're hugging, Chuck. Can I give you a hug?
Hey, we gotta get a rematch, though. I'm not gonna lie.
No, it's over.
Thank you.
It ain't one and done. It's always best out of three.
Thank you, man. Legend.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate you coming on.
El Rey.
I got competition here, man.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down! Walk right up to
the side. A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.